Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Friends of Kevin Radio Show. The Friends of Kevin Radio Show helps promote businesses, nonprofits, and artists. If you'd like to be a guest in the show, send me an email to kevin@friendsofkevin.com. To learn more about the Friends of Kevin Networking Group and to see a list of upcoming events, visit the website at friendsofkevin.com. So today, excited to get my longtime friend Jack Wang with us from Longhorn Financial. As always, guys, please remember that Jack joins the show for informational purposes only. This should not be construed as financial advice. As always, please seek a qualified financial advisor before you make any decisions in your life. Good afternoon, Jack. Welcome to the show.
Hey, Kevin. Great to be on. Thanks for having me.
So, Jack, today we want to talk a little bit about the cost of college. So, as you know, people are getting their letters, finding out what they're getting for help. And now they're looking and saying, unfortunately, there's still a deficit. So what are some of the options people have to pay that deficit?
Yeah, so there are a lot of different options. And, of course, there's a lot of ways you can borrow, including things like direct loans, PLUS loans, or even using things like home equity loans or mortgages, as well as 401k loans. But then, you know, certainly then there are the college savings options. So just using savings or, for example, like a 529 plan type of thing. So people really do have a lot of choices just depending on their own circumstances.
It just seems so simplistic, chuckle, chuckle. But that's why
people get
so overwhelmed with it.
That's
exactly what you just said. It's so crazy.
Yeah.
So let's
what's
just
the
focus
problem,
on
right? Exactly.
Yeah. Come on. How about walk me through what a direct loan is?
Yeah. So the direct loan is a loan directly to the student, not the parents, to the student from the federal government. And so so the student is the legal borrower, and the federal government understands that, hey, an 18-year-old kid's not likely to have a credit history or anything, so there's really no credit check. But it is directly to the student. It's a low fixed interest rate. There's a multitude of repayment options, and there's no payments required while that student is in school. So it's actually a great deal. Again, not everybody has to do that, but it is a great deal if families want to do it, and oftentimes families use that. We'll take that deal as the sort of the way for the kid to have a stake in the game, if you will, right? So, yeah, they're going to have to pay it back, but it's not an outrageous loan amount. But that's how that works.
Now, you mentioned the PLUS loan. I don't think I know too much about that. What is a PLUS loan?
Yeah, so the PLUS loan is the direct loan, but for parents, right? So everything I kind of talked about, the direct loan, pretty much similar, the same thing, but just now for the parents. So the parents are the ones who are legally on the hook, right? The parents are the borrower, not the student. But again, fixed rate, the rate is higher. It's fixed rate. The parents can borrow all the way up to what's called the cost of attendance. So, you know, if the parents need to borrow $70,000 a year to send little Johnny or little Sally to that school, then parents can do that. There's actually minimal underwriting. But again, the rate is higher than the direct loan to the student, but there are still a multitude of repayment options. So it's essentially the student loan, but for parents, and also pretty easy to get if parents want to go that way, right? So again, just because you can borrow 70 grand a year doesn't necessarily mean you should borrow, but you can do it.
Now, I see some people just go to their local bank and try to borrow from a student loan from the bank. What's the difference between direct plus and just going to your local bank?
Yeah, that's a great question. You know, there are advertisements around for various banks or even quasi-governmental agencies. So here in Massachusetts, it's called MEFA, Mass Educational Finance Authority. And those all handle so-called private student loans. Now, it's important to know that not every bank does it. Only certain banks do. But many well-known names don't. So it's not like you can just walk into any bank to get this. You actually can't. But so private loans do offer sort of more features and more options, right? So with private loans, you can pick fixed or variable rate, whereas federal loans is only fixed. You can do it as a co-signer, right? So you can have your kid borrow, but as a parent, you'd have to co-sign. You know, you can have different terms, you know, the length of the loan and things like that. So it does give you a few more options. The major difference between a private loan and a federal loan is that the private loan would have full underwriting. So what that means is it's no different if you or I were to apply for an auto loan or a mortgage. So they would look at our credit score, they would look at, you know, our debt to income ratio, you know, and all the other debt that we may have or obligations to make a credit decision. And so, you know, if you needed to borrow that $70,000 for little Johnny or little Sally to go to school, you know, your finances have to be good enough to be able to support that, right? Like, you have to pass underwriting. So the bank has to be able to think that you can afford to pay them back. Otherwise, they won't let you borrow all of it. So that's a significant difference. So, you know, if families are going to go that route, then it may pay, you know, be worthwhile to sort of get your credit cleaned up a little bit, you know, pay off some other debt, whatever, or, yeah, go get a second job or, you know, sort of whatever it takes, right? But because of that underwriting, it is much more like a traditional mortgage or whatever. So there are chances where people will get turned down or only approved for a lesser amount than what they actually need.
Makes sense. Now, speaking of banks and credit unions, some people look to access the equity in their home or maybe in their take out a 401k loan. What are some of the options there, and what should people be concerned about?
Yeah. So we'll start with the 401k loan. So, some people borrow against their 401k or borrow from the 401k, I should say, because oftentimes it's an easy source of credit. There's really no credit check because you're borrowing your own money. So sometimes people look to that as the first option. And while that can be a good option for some people, the amount that you can borrow is limited. So basically, under IRS regulations, you can only borrow $50,000 or 50% of the loan balance, of your account balance, whichever is lower, right? So if you have $1 million 401k, the most you can borrow is $50,000, right? Because it's $50,000 or 50% of the balance, whichever is lower. So that's a total loan amount, right? So I've had some people ask me, well, so Jack, does that mean I can borrow $50,000 a year? No, it actually doesn't. It means that the total amount of loans you can have out of 401k is $50,000 or that 50% limitation. The downside, you know, of that is the 401k loans tend to only run 5 years. So if you have enough money to where you can borrow $50,000, you have to pay that back in 5 years. So you have to be able to afford the payment, right, which may or may not be true. So that's the 401k. As far as, like, using things like home equity or, you know, like a home equity line of credit or a a cash-out refinance mortgage or something – those are popular options, especially the mortgages right now, because interest rates are so low. But again, some people, you know, with a home equity, you start payment right away, but it's debt on your house. You have to be okay with that. So some people want that, some people don't. And so it can be a good source of financing if you don't want to go the student loan route. But again, keep in mind that mortgages and home equity loans are full underwriting, just like we talked about the private loans. So you have to have a good credit score. You have to have enough value in your house, right? Your debt to income ratio has to be high enough, et cetera, et cetera. So all of that stuff still applies, just like with a private student loan.
So, Jack, now I would imagine when you sit down with your average client, you know, when you start to go over this, they must go, Jack, stop. Just tell me which one to take. Not
right.
That simple, right?
It would be nice.
Yeah, it's really,
you know, you'd be a lot more helpful, Jack.
Fantastic.
If you just choose this one, it's the right one all the time. It doesn't work that way, though.
Right. No, it's not like that at all, unfortunately. And, you know, and people say, like, well, you know, what's the best deal? What do the numbers say? And things like that. And it's important. At the end of the day, it's really more about sort of philosophies than the numbers. Because, for example, some people say, look, you know, I want to help my kid for college, but I'm just not going into any debt, period, of any kind. Okay, fine, and that's not wrong. Other people say, okay, I'm willing to borrow, but I'm not going to borrow on my house because if anything goes wrong, I'm not losing my house over it. Okay, fine. And then yet again, other people say, you know what, I'm willing to borrow. I'm willing to borrow my house because I want the lowest possible interest rate, so that, you know, home equity loan or mortgage or something. And, you know, that's fine too. So everybody is really different, and it's not uncommon for one parent to say one thing and the other parent to say something else. So having that conversation with the family to sort of set expectations and sort of what are people comfortable with is a really important part of this process, because everybody has different ideas about what the right thing is. You know, and also sort of taking account. So, for example, if you do the mortgage, you know, let's say you take out a bunch of money and you refinance out to 30 years. Well, at the end of 30 years, are you now in retirement? You know, so like, are you going to have to spend part of your Social Security check to make a mortgage payment? Is that, you know, do you really want that? Maybe yes, maybe no. You know, so there's a lot of factors that come into these types of things beyond just what is the interest rate. Just give me the lowest interest rate or give me the lowest fees or whatever.
So, Jack, how do people reach out to you? How can they learn more, my friend?
Yeah, people can always get me over email at jack@longhornfin.com, or they can go to my Facebook page at facebook.com/longhornfin.
Jack, always appreciate you taking the time to call into the show, and as always, thanks for being my friend.
Awesome. Thank you, Kevin.
Yeah, have a good night. Bye now.